Okay. All right. We're going to transition to a very important local issue that the Chancellor Henderson has found herself at the center of. She made some comments, and I believe we have those comments queued up. I think we should start with listening to what the Chancellor had to say, and then we're going to have a conversation because we're joined in studio by Peter McPherson, a longtime education advocate here in the District of Columbia, and we also have on the line with us Ms. Iris Toya, who is a former school board member and a longtime parent and education advocate herself. And so we want to have this conversation about the comments that Chancellor Henderson made this recently, I'll say. And so why don't we listen to those, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about it.
One of the things that I take my hat off to the charter sector on is they know how to do middle schools really well, right? And people are, and so let's, if we can't do middle schools well and they can do middle schools well, then let's figure out how we funnel kids through those middle schools and then bring some of those folks to H.D. Woodson if they have STEM middle schools or whatnot. We've got to be creative and get out of this, well, if we just do this for DCPS. We have a robust and dynamic education sector, and so we're going to, I think, citywide figure out how to make it work.
You know, I'm going to bring Peter and Iris in, but, you know, listening, that's the first time I've heard those comments. You know, to me, the first question is she the sector chancellor or is she the DCPS chancellor? I don't understand. But anyway, I want to give Peter and Iris an opportunity to respond to that, and then we'll have a conversation. Peter, since you're in the studio, I'll let you go first.
Well, I have two reactions to what the chancellor said. A, it is either a stunningly truthful representation by the chancellor that she doesn't know how to fix anything, or B, that it's stunningly cynical in that, you know, she's really at the service of another agenda, which is not really running DCPS or trying to transform DCPS. And regrettably, I think that it's the latter. I mean,
nice.
So
I'm going to vote for both, but let's hear from Iris.
Iris,
I sat and listened when Kaya Henderson first made those statements, and I was disgusted, disappointed. I'm not sure what I was, but my immediate feeling was that once again they've thrown their hands up and admitted defeat, surrendered to. As Peter said, the fact that they really don't know what they're doing. I felt it to me feels the same way when they brought in all of the charter or turnaround people for our high schools, that they were essentially saying, we don't know what to do, so let's turn it over to somebody else, and we're going to absolve ourselves of responsibility for it.
You make an excellent point, Iris. I'm just amazed that the chancellor of DCPS made those comments. I would understand those comments better if they came from the deputy mayor of education or someone on a statewide level who is responsible for both sectors. But for
and of
the
course,
one,
Abigail Smith did say that last week on our show as well. It kind of slid in there, but she did say that, you know, we're going to explore some charter public school patterns. The thing is that they've been saying it for a while in a very
right.
undercurrent kind of way. But, she, you know, she did say it last week. But this is a different thing.
Yeah, but coming from the chancellor, I think it's stunning. I mean, because she should be the chief cheerleader for DCPS and wanting to improve DCPS from K through 12 and or pre-K to 12. And for her to say, you know what, maybe we just start farming this out, you know, outsourcing middle school, that is stunning. That is, I mean, I'm like, I'm amazed.
I would think that for the whole legion of principals and teachers and staff that are currently in DCPS working in those middle grades, the middle school grades, it is an insult because she has just across the board said, you guys can't do it. We don't know what to tell you to do. So we're going to go in a different direction.
Before you jump in, I just want to say if anyone else is interested in joining this conversation, please give us a call at 202-889-9797. That's 202-889-9797. 889-9797 if you want to give us a comment or ask a question. Because I know there were a lot of people on Facebook this week talking about this issue, and I've invited some other folks to come out. So if you're interested in joining us, please do so at this time, 889-9797. Peter, I know you wanted to jump back in.
Well, I mean, like I said, you know, Kaya Henderson is not dumb, not by a long shot. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, you look around the city, we do have good middle schools. You know, and they're not just Hardy a deal. We've also, you know, got Stuart Hobson. People are working very hard at SUSE, and we've got some good leadership in other schools like Elliott Hine and Jefferson Middle School and Kramer Middle School, Hart Middle School, which is one of the biggest middle schools in the city by enrollment. I don't think people were aware of is Hart.
Yes.
Billy Carney, who's the principal there, is just a very dynamic. He's a terrific leader. And, you know, I remember the first time I visited Hart, you know, I sort of had a view of what I thought Hart might be like. It wasn't like that at all. I mean, Billy Carney is running a good tight ship there. And the thing is that, you know, all of these schools, you know, it becomes a question of more. More and different. I mean, more in the sense, one of the things that Billy Carney told me was, you know, that he has a lot of kids with behavioral issues that require at least some kind of psychological intervention. He needs more people like that.
Yeah.
But then you look at the other middle schools, like, you know, enrollment drives everything. You know, the way that that DCPS has constructed this the funding formula. Mm-hmm. You know, and so you go into some of these middle schools that are under-enrolled, and, you know, you don't have stuff with the intensity that you want it. You know, maybe they don't have, you know, they have a part-time art teacher, or part-time music teacher, part-time librarian, and the kind of things that you need to have present to grow those schools, you know, to get a broad cross-section of the community into them. You know, they're just not present with the kind of an intensity that would make them desirable. And it sort of ties into the thing in the previous segment about play is that a good middle school or all schools, the good ones are functioning, you know, across a whole range of disciplines and what's done during the school day. And, you know, the chancellor's constant desire to sort of to double and triple down on reading and math, it has become sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy in terms of, you know, underperformance.
Okay. Well, Peter, we're glad you're here with us. Iris, we are glad you're here. I'm going to ask both of you to stand by. We're going to take our final pause for the day. And when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation around the comments that Chancellor Henderson made about funneling families to charter schools. And we're going to unpack that some more. So, folks, we're glad you're along with us. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong.
You're listening to WPWC We Act Radio, 1480 AM, weactradio.com.
I'm a third grade teacher.
I'm a school bus driver.
I am a parent.
I am a teacher's aide. And I agree to be identified
as a caring adult who pledges to help bullied students.
I will listen carefully to all students who seek my help
and act on their behalf
to put an immediate stop to bullying.
I will work with other caring adults to create a safe
learning environment for all the students in my school.
In my school.
In my school.
In my school.
I'm Dennis Van Roekel, president of the National Education Association. Help us create safe, bully-free learning environments for all students. One caring adult can make all the difference. Be that adult and take the pledge at nea.org/bullyfree. Adults have the power to stop bullying in our schools.
It starts with me.
It starts with me.
It starts with me.
It starts with me.
Bully free. It starts with me.
Visit nea.org/bullyfree. A message from the National Education Association.
Ashraka.
It's Ash Rodder on the AM dial. Call me up and we'll talk for a while. If you want to keep it real and hear the tea, believe me, this is the place to be. Excuse you crazy for real. Excuse you, you crazy for real. Excuse you, you crazy for real. Look, she could say word, Ash Rodder.
This is Sherrato on the Ash Sherrato Radio Show on We Act Radio 1480 AM and WeActRadio.com. Fierce, fearless, fabulous.
And this is Senora. Tune in every Thursday at 7 p.m. broadcasting live from historic Anacostia in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital.
Tune in every Thursday at 7 p.m. for the Ash Sherrato Show, giving great advice and dogmatic opinions on love, life, and leisure, guaranteeing the unfiltered, undeniable, and unadulterated truth.
We Act 1480 AM and WeActRadio.com, the city's only independent progressive radio station.
Rich, say word, Ash Sherrato.
You're listening to We Act Radio, WPWC 1480 AM. Now get out there and do something.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us today on the Education Town Hall. This is your host, Thomas Byrd. It's indeed an honor, a pleasure, and a privilege to have in studio with us today, Mr. Peter McPherson, and to have on the line, Miss Iris Toya. Now we're also joined by, I believe, Denisha Jones has joined this conversation. We were talking about the comments. We're reacting to the comments made by Chancellor Henderson recently regarding funneling families to charter schools for the middle grades. And so, Denisha, I assume you want to weigh in.
Hi, Thomas. Yes, I do. I was listening, enjoying the show as always, and I just couldn't help but call in because it sounds like, you know, this is the plan for those people who push charter schools, right? Declare the schools failing and the only solution is charter schools. Where is the evidence that charter schools are better than public schools in any sector, elementary, middle, or high school? It's not there. Some charters do an excellent job, ones that are small, community-focused, and work with all students. But the for-profit chains, they have no proven track record of excellence. But yet, our chancellor is considering turning our middle schools over to these people. And it's just surprising that this is the attitude we're taking now towards our public schools.
I want to say this before we get any further. I have asked the chancellor to come on the show. I've been working with her office, going through channels as they ask, for many weeks and months now, trying to get her on the show or someone from DCPS to come on the show. They have consistently declined to come on the show. I'm going to admit, I did not ask them to come on to talk about this because I'm just, you know, once I bang my head against the wall, I know it's hard, and so I'm going to stop banging. Mm-hmm. So it's apparent they do not want to come on the Education Town Hall. They will go to any other show, but they don't want to come on the only show in the District of Columbia that focuses on education, because I believe they're afraid that their education, they're more experts on Education Town Hall than it is in DCPS probably at this point. So I think they're afraid of that. And I know folks are cringing that I just said that, but hey, you know, left to my own devices, you know, I get outrageous sometimes. So I know, Virginia, you want to jump in.
I did. I wanted to follow up on what Denisha Jones has just said about how this focuses the conversation in a way that is really incredibly unhelpful, because this was in the context of a discussion about how DC has to redraw its boundaries. And I'm hoping Iris can chime in on this. And just like, how do you think that including the charter schools affects the boundary question? Should it even be in there? You know, I understood when our deputy mayor was on the show, she talked about having charter schools involved as though it were a question of just information. You know, we need to know what our patterns are. But this changes the whole thing. So, Iris, in particular, I was wondering what you thought.
I thought it was interesting that they want to include charters. I mean, I know that they have a bias, I'll say, towards charter schools. However, I think that they have forgotten the law. And I would venture to say, I'm going to guess, that the charter board, the, you know, charter schools themselves have not said that they want to participate in that process. And even the law, which clearly says something to the effect that there's nothing that the folks in the district can do to hinder charters or whatever, that this would do that. So it seems that they have put the cart before, way before the horse. The cart is way down the road, and the horse is not even out of the barn. They're making a plan based on something that would take absolute, total, and complete buy-in from every LEA, every single individual LEA in the city, in order for their plan to work.
And I've got to ask, and I'm going to let you in, Peter. I've got to ask one thing, because the chancellor said we should maybe funnel families into charter school for the middle grades. How in tarnation does she expect to get them back in high school?
Right.
I mean, how is that going to happen? I mean, what is, so she'd say, okay, we're going to be DCPS.
And of course, there's no charters in Ward 3. Can I just point that out?
Right. We're going to be, DCPS is now going to consist of pre-K through fifth grade. And that's to the extent of DCPS. We're now going to send everybody to charters in middle grades. We're never going to get them back. And so what is she trying to do? Contract DCPS down to elementary, pre-K elementary school district? I mean, there are numerous questions, and I would love to have her on to address some of these questions.
I'm a little more cynical than that, because this doesn't involve Hardy, Hobson, Deal, those schools, you know, Hobson. It doesn't include every middle school. Let's be very clear about that. Those that they see successful middle schools would not even be involved in that scheme. So this is for the other school. I think it's an interesting context for it to come, the discussion to come up in, when we're talking about boundary changes, that you've decided, well, we have all of these middle schools. We can, once again, it comes down to a dollars and cents issue and not really what is best for children.
Mm-hmm. Peter?
Well, I mean, I would also say that it needs to be pointed out that we haven't really reached our kumbaya moment yet, where DCPS and the charters are going to embrace, in a spirit of cooperation and togetherness. That what we've really got is, you know, that may be what the chancellor wants and the deputy mayor wants, but the fact is that I think that the charter community still has very much of a hyper laissez-faire, take no prisoners, you know, we want it all for ourselves,
right.
You know, and that, you know, and so the thing is that I just think, you know, you've got that you've got a dynamic, you're trying to create a dynamic that doesn't exist, that one side of the equation doesn't want to exist. And, you know, and frankly, I think, you know, I was always skeptical about the idea of, well, we're going to have competitive models, you know, the DCPS model and the charter model.
Right.
And that, you know, when we first started down this road with charters, you know, it was supposed to be, we're going to create some models, you know, of maybe some different ways to do things. But now, you know, we've got two competitive systems that are not at parity yet, but that are getting closer. And, you know, and so, I mean, right, so what we've been delivered to is a competitive model. And frankly, if we've got a competitive model, I want a chancellor who says, tells her staff, tells her school leaders, bring me the heads of the charter operators on a spike.
Right.
I want you to make the DCPS schools so good, so dynamic, such you know, places that parents want to send their kids, that the charters will just fade away. I don't want to hear. I want to sing Kumbaya and acknowledge their thing. This is what I want.
You certainly don't want to hear surrender on the part of the chancellor.
Yeah, surrender Dorothy.
You know and that's what it is. I mean, a recent meeting I attended at the DME's office that had charter sector folks. In fact, the number two person on the DC Public Charter School Board was in a group that I participated in, and he confirmed for me that there is still an active competition, that they are aggressively pursuing growth of their sector, and they're not willing to take any prisoners. They are going for the juggler,
mm-hmm.
and they won't even consider negotiating until certain things, conditions are met. They're looking for pre-set items, you know, conditions before they even go into negotiations. And so it's mind-boggling that, you know, folks are saying we're going to work with this sector, and the sector is not willing to work with you. Go ahead. I know Virginia wants to jump back.
I wanted to cycle back to something that Iris said before Denisha got on the line. Iris, you spoke about how this statement was just an insult to the people who are working in our middle schools, and I think actually to the students there. It was just dismissing whole enterprises. And one of the things that I wonder is, maybe not everyone knows that Denisha Jones is part of the Badass Teachers Association.
Badass.
And I'm just wondering if we have badass teachers in our middle schools, or if in some way there is anybody who's going to actually speak up for these people. And so I'd like to hear from both Denisha and Iris on that.
Denisha?
Yes, Virginia. We do have plenty of badass teachers who teach in middle schools, not only in the district, but also in other states. And they see these attacks on public education as part of a larger movement that seeks to privatize public schools. And so they're definitely aware of the issues and trying to work with them. I did want to speak briefly to Thomas's comment about how do we get the students back. And I think what we have to understand is that the push to charter and the push to privatization is not about getting the students back. Eventually, middle schools will become charter schools. Those students will then go to high schools, and then we'll look about turning our elementary schools into charter schools. This is about privatizing publication. It's a public education, taking public money and funneling it through private sources so that education is no longer a public responsibility for states and districts. And this is a huge issue because we understand that public education is a cornerstone of living in a democratic republic. And there's a reason why we leave it to the states and to districts to educate our children, and we don't allow it to be privatized. So I think the end game is that you see districts becoming more and more privatized, and we see this happening in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is on the verge of closing more public schools and turning over the ones that are left to private charters. The same thing happened in New Orleans after the hurricane. There's more charter schools there than there are public schools serving those children. This is the model that other states are trying to implement. The corporations who have privatization in mind are pushing onto districts.
You know, Denisha, if we use that logic, it sounds like the chancellor is trying to put herself out of a job. And if she is,
she'll get a job.
Why don't she just quit now?
And one of the things we need to know about our chancellor, and I've never met her, and you know, I don't want to speak ill of her in a sense on a personal level because I don't know her, but she does come from a school of chancellors and superintendents who come from the Broad Academy and Foundation. If you know, the Broad is a family, is a really wealthy family. And
Eli Broad Foundation.
Eli Broad, right? And they have started training for superintendents and principals and chancellors. So, and I believe Kai Anderson is from that school of thought. And what you have to remember that their goals are more aligned with corporate goals. So she's going to have a position in all of this.
Okay.
She will be the chancellor of all the charter schools in the district and keep a public face. But where will the public school teachers have a face in all this?
I was hoping to get a chance for Iris to chime in there, too.
I'm not certain that Kaya has gone through the Broad Foundation's training program. But it, as you say, that school of thought where public no longer means public schools. It is public schools, private schools funded on public money. And so, you know, back to the can I just, rather than commenting on that, what you asked me, I want to put this a little in context.
Yes.
In terms of the lack of investment in our middle schools, and this started, if you all will remember, in around 2006, we moved all of our ninth grades out of our quote-unquote junior high schools or whatever they were, and moved them into high school so that there was context and continuity. We went through a large process under Dr. Janey, community people, teachers, principals, administrators. It was a very long process and a successful process. Then they turned to the middle schools. That was the plan, to turn to middle schools. We had junior high schools, pre-K 8, middle schools. We had everything across the board. Parents United began, that was then in effect, began meeting with, if you had middle grades, we would convene meetings to talk to these people to figure out what is the difference between your junior high school and your middle school, because nobody else was doing that conversation. The same group that worked on the moving ninth graders out convinced then Superintendent Janey
that they were going to do the same kind of process to kind of, I'll say standardize, for lack of a better term, our middle grades, so that investments could then be made to make those children successful to move on to our high schools. As soon as, of course, Fenty came in, Janie went, the plan went away. And so for all these many years, there has been no attention really paid as to what makes a successful middle school. Now, I want people to bear in mind, you may love, for example, your pre-K-8 school, but your child has to go to ninth grade if they are going to a public, a traditional public high school, or even a charter school, and your child in that pre-K-8 doesn't get the same thing that a child at Deal or Hardy or Hobson get in terms of curriculum and course offerings. It is virtually impossible because of the staffing models. And so when people are, oh yeah, I love my pre-K-8, I always say you need to visit this school because you need to see what a child is offered during the course of the day, the full range of subjects, because your child is going to be competing with that child.
Okay. Well, listen, folks, we are just about out of time. We've got about a minute left, so I'm gonna give Peter an opportunity to make a final comment as well as Denisha.
Well, you know, I would just echo and amplify on what Iris just said. You know, I've been very involved with the school library issue for the past 18 months, and this summer I went
into
Hart.
And I want to remind you, you only have 20 seconds.
Yeah, went into Hart Middle School. They did not have a single book in that library. Now, our advocacy now that they have 8,000 or 9,000 books in that library, but the fact is that was a situation that the chancellor was happy to allow to continue before advocacy had taken place. And so there has just not been the commitment to make these other middle schools, Hart,
okay,
and Kramer, and okay, you know,
okay,
as robust,
okay,
in terms of their offering.
Denisha, you got 20 seconds.
Yeah, I just wanted to correct that. The other speaker was correct. Kai Henderson was not part of the Broad Foundation, but she's a TSA alumni, so they have similar goals. But my final thought is I encourage people, follow the money. There is money behind all of these choices and these decisions being made. You know, someone will benefit from turning our middle schools into charter schools, and it won't be our children and our community. And we need to find out who, because that will explain the underlying motives behind this. And that way we can be informed as citizens and decide if this is what we really want.
All right. That's going to have to be the last word. Thank you all for joining us here on the Education Town Hall. Mr. Peter McPherson for coming in. I want to thank Iris Toyer for calling on the phone and joining us, and Denisha Jones as well, badass teachers, for calling us on the phone as well and weighing in on this important topic. Folks, I want to thank our earlier guest, Dr. Slessor, who is the president of the International Player Association. That's a very important topic. And all these discussions, all these organizations, and what we've talked about, you can find on our website, our brand new website, educationtownhall.org. It houses our blog. Please go out there and enter your blog entries and participate in our forum out there. So please join us online. Folks, we are at the end of the show. Until next Thursday at 11 a.m., have a great week. This is your host, Thomas Byrd, for Virginia Spats. Peace.
You're listening to WEACT Radio, WPWC, 1480 AM.